Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
My text for the message this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 11, although I'll be referring to some of the previous verses in this chapter. But we're reading in God's Word, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This third chapter of Ecclesiastes opens with the words, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." In the previous verses here, leading up to the text from which I'm preaching today, are all about the time that we have on this earth and the various seasons of life. There is a time when we are born into this world, and there will be a time when we depart from this world. There are broken times in life, and there are times of healing. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot what is planted. And so we see in this chapter, all the way through these verses, a mixture of the good and the not so good, of the desirable and the not so desirable. And these verses here are not something upon which we hang all of our doctrine and theology. King Solomon is making an observation about the opposites in life, of the ebb and flow in life, and the ups and downs that we have in life. And so, yes, there are times when things are going and growing and all is well. And then there are times when life goes in retreat, and sometimes it may even seem like life comes to a screeching halt. And we can view this in the framework of a lifetime, a year, a month, a week, sometimes even within a day we have these ups and downs in life. As I was thinking about all of this week, I remembered an old movie that I saw, and I'm pretty sure that most of you have probably seen this movie, but I couldn't remember when this movie came out, and so I looked it up, and it was 1975. And as far as I know, it was the first shark movie that came up. You know what movie I'm talking about? Jaws. That monster shark that terrified and attacked people. And since that time, there have been over 40 shark movies. You have Sharknado, The Planet of the Sharks, Jurassic Shark, all these movies, but it began with the movie Jaws. And there were some suspenseful and frightening scenes in that movie. But I really believe that the genius of that movie was the musical score that John Williams wrote. It's just two notes, E and F. And those two notes together are discordant. But here you have these cellos and basses, and they were going from that note E to F, and it was building up, and it had a chilling effect on the human psyche. But when I thought about that, I thought about the notes of life. Yes, in life we have the E note of expectation, the hope that we have for a measure of happiness, good health, accomplishments, family, peace, all these things. And it's often followed by the F note of failure, failed expectations, failed relationships, failed accomplishments. And sometimes it may feel to us like we're caught in the jaws of life. But that's where God comes in. The Bible tells us that if we have a hope only in this life, we are to be pitied. King Solomon looked around and he discovered that life is only futile and burdensome and meaningless without God. And you know, the problem today is that a lot of people are missing the G note in their lives. They're missing the God note. They're missing the one who can bring harmony and wholeness out of all of the discordant and disconnected experiences in life. And the Bible tells us at the appropriate time, though, God is the master potter. He's able to take that shapeless clay and make something beautiful out of it. Can I not do with you as this potter does? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, the Lord says. God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has put eternity in our hearts. The Bible says that God has given to every person a measure of faith, but that faith is like a seed. A seed by itself is dry and lifeless until it's planted, until it's watered. And though people have a measure of faith, that seed faith in their lives, it has to be activated. It has to come to life before they can see God and eternity and the bigger picture in life. And a lot of people in this world, they get blinded by the things of this world. It keeps them from seeing eternity. It keeps them from seeing the bigger picture. Have you heard the story about the young, prosperous investment banker? I mean, he hit it really big, and so he went out and he got himself a brand new top of the line BMW, and he was in the mountains driving. He was driving too fast and he failed to negotiate a curve, and his car spun out of control, went over the bank and burst into flames. But before that, he was able to unleash his seatbelt, and he jumped out the door, and there he was. He was laying on his back on the ground, and a truck driver came up behind him and saw him lying there, and he got out and went up to him, and the man was screaming, "My BMW, my brand new BMW." And the guy, the truck driver looked at him and said, "Sir, I think you have a bigger problem." And the guy and the young man looked over and his whole left arm was missing. And he started screaming, "My Rolex, my brand new Rolex." Okay. A fictional story, exaggerated, yes. But isn't there truth? Isn't there truth there? That people in the things of this world, people live for all of the wrong things, and it blinds them to eternity. I want you to know that Jesus, what Jesus said, he said, a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that he has. And Jesus in Luke chapter 12, he said that life is more than the body and material things. But some people, they get just caught, they're caught up in this world. All they can see is what is right here. I want you to look at this passage about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. He was looking out by faith. He was looking to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And I want you to look at this last part here. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had eternity in his heart. Moses was guided by the eternal. He endured as seeing him who is invisible, the eternal. And the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I hope some of these passages, it gives you encouragement today. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Can anyone say amen to that? Our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to look at this quote by C.S. Lewis, a great Christian man and wrote many books. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find in myself a desire that this world cannot fulfill, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Our Heavenly Father has provided many delightful ends for us along our journey, but He takes great care to see that we do not mistake any of them for home." You know, remember that old song, "This world's not my home, I'm just passing through"? That's why the Bible calls us pilgrims and sojourners. So what I'm saying to you, I want you to get a hold of this today. What I'm saying is that if we really believe in God, if we really believe that there's a place called heaven, if we really believe that there's eternal life after death, if we really believe that God makes all things beautiful in its time, if we really believe today that at the appropriate time, God is able to bring the things of life together in a beautiful fashion, that according to Psalm 139 verse 16, He has fashioned days for us even before they happen. If we believe that God is in control, that He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, then folks, listen, that is going to shape and color how we live in this life. It's not just about this. It's about eternity. It's about God's kingdom here on earth and His eternal kingdom yet to come. If you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, cautiously. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to step back from this world and correct our vision, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the life of me, I don't know how anybody can look at creation and not see that God exists. Do you agree with that? It's like, how can someone look out at the beauty, the majesty of creation? Paul says in Romans, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." in the created world, there's growth, change. Here we are in the middle of a hot summer, but before long, fall will come, and then the winter, and then spring will roll around again, and things will start to grow and be green. And I find in the Bible there are all kinds of agricultural illustrations that illustrate life and growth and change and how God is working behind it all. Look at what Jesus said here. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, tiny grain of mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." But you see, a seed, as I said, a seed by itself is dry and lifeless. It has to be planted, it has to be watered. There are times in life that are dry and barren. And King Solomon, he looked around, he saw in life, he saw loss, he saw tears, he saw death even. But then he came to the God part. He came to the God part that we find in the text that I've chosen, because God makes everything beautiful in its time. God has put eternity in our hearts. I want you to look at this. Listen to these words that the prophet Isaiah gave concerning the coming Messiah. And Jesus quoted a lot of this in Luke chapter 4. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, to comfort all who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes." I like that first song, if I remember correctly. It talked about that. It talked about beauty coming from ashes. "The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord." And so, a long time ago, I want you to get a hold of this. I want to relate this to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. A long time ago, a seed fell into the earth. A tree was planted. Shortly before Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room, he said to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The promised seed of God, the promised seed of the Messiah, was planted in Mary. Jesus was born. And he lived, he taught, he performed miracles. And then they took him. And they stripped him. They spat upon him. They mocked him. They pushed a crown of thorns down upon his head. And they beat him. And they put him on a tree. They nailed him to a cross. And they planted it in the earth. What a cruel, torturous death. How twisted. How ugly. But here's the question today. Can God make something beautiful in its time? The answer is yes, because that seed produced life. Death was overcome by life. Death was overcome by the resurrection. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he arose victorious over sin, hell, and death. I want to tell you today, the cross is beautiful. Amen. The cross is beautiful. The blood of Jesus is not gory. You don't faint at the sight of his blood. The blood of Jesus is beautiful. The cross is beautiful. The cross is why we believe that God makes everything beautiful in its time. I want to tell you today, friend, God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me. He knows everything about us. He knows where we've been hurt. He knows where we've failed. He knows where we've overcome. He knows where we've been blessed. He knows it all. He knows the good and the bad and everything in between. But the Bible tells us here in this verse that I began with, who can fathom the work that God does from beginning to end? If we try to figure out everything that happens and why it happens, that's not our job. Our job is to love God and to trust Him. To understand that He's made us for eternity. He's got eternity in view for our lives, not just the present moment. And so God is working with that in view. And He's working. He's able to make all things beautiful in its time. I want to mention briefly three things that God makes beautiful when we love and trust Him. You knew I was going to have some points somewhere. Three things that God can make beautiful when we love and trust Him. Number one, He is well able to make a beautiful life. You know, there's an old Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know. Maybe it is. But I do know this. It is a beautiful life that God is able to make. The miracle of grace is that God can take lives that are twisted and ugly with sin and make it beautiful. Like the old Bill Gaither song, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful out of my life. Look at this promise here from the book of Jeremiah. A lot of people look at this, and not just this verse. I get tired of hearing some of this. You know, maybe I shouldn't even look at some of these things, but they try to make a big deal. Like this was spoken just to Israel, God's people. We're God's people too, aren't we? And yes, this was spoken to Israel, but I'm claiming this for my life. I hope you claim it for yours. God can speak this to us as well. And He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, sometimes God's plans are not pleasant at the time. It might not all be just wonderful. God may allow us to go through a time of waiting, time of testing. But the point is, He has some plans. He has a plan to give us hope and a future. God is also able to make a beautiful church when we love and trust Him. Jesus said, "On this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God, listen to me today, God is preparing Himself a beautiful church, a beautiful bride. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and said that he might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church world today is in a, when I say the church world, just the church world overall is in a big mess. We're seeing leaders fall left and right. We're seeing all kinds of heresy and apostasy taking place in these days, in the last days. But I'm here to tell you, God is preparing Himself a beautiful church. Amen. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That is beautiful, folks. That is beautiful. God is preparing Himself a beautiful church. And then the last thing I want to share in this message today, when we love and trust Him, God has a beautiful future for us. Jesus said, if you're broken and you're hurting, listen to these words. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He's there for us, preparing that future place for us. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself. What a word of hope and encouragement to us. As it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to close with a beautiful passage from the last part of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ that John received on the island of Patmos. Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Folks, who's in control? Who's in control? It's God. God has it all planned out. He's in control. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there were no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, God preparing a beautiful church. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Here's some good news for you today. Think about the pain that you've endured and the tears that you've shed. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. When I wrote this message, I decided to end with that, but when I was praying this morning, as I was praying and thinking about these things and praying for God to help me to try to communicate this word today, another thought came to my mind. And I thought, a beautiful nation. How can we have a beautiful nation? When we turn to God. We turn to God. Will everyone turn to God in the United States of America? No. But when enough of us turn to God, He'll make something beautiful happen. We begin to tear down the walls of hate and division that's eating our country like a poisonous, deadly cancer. And only God can heal us. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I'll hear and I'll heal the land. That's our only hope. That is our only hope today, is in the Lord. It's
we turn to Him.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.